Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to a brand new episode of the Face Turn Podcast. My name is Noah Trombley, joined, as always, by Mike Rifkin and Lawrence Patchman Lang. Gentlemen, how are we doing today?
Oh, it's a brand new year, my friend. 2021 yeah. finally came around.
It did.
But then again, 2020 did 2020 things to us.
Mike, how you doing, my man?
I'm all right, man. How you doing?
Good. Well, we want to wish everybody a happy new year, but unfortunately for the wrestling world, we really didn't really get a happy new year, I don't think. So tonight's episode, we're not going to really talk about any news that, well, not any like recent news that's broken or talk about any show in particular, but we're going to do a tribute show to the late, great John Huber. As most people already know by now, John Huber, a.k.a. Luke Harper, a.k.a. Brody Lee, in AEW and WWE respectively, passed away not this past Saturday, but the Saturday before at the age of 41 due to a non-COVID-related lung issue, according to his wife. Lawrence, you texted me when I was at work and you told me about like what had happened and you broke the news to me. And I couldn't believe it when you texted me.
I couldn't believe it either because I saw what run pages I follow. They had a post about a wrestler passing. I'm like, oh, I know who this is. And as soon as I saw it finally clicked on my brain, I'm like, there's no way. And sure enough, I go right to Twitter. I'm like, Brody Lee. And then sure enough, I see the wife's post. I see AEW's post. I'm like, well, okay.
Yeah, it's terrible news.
It was like this year just completely sucked.
Yeah, it was just a gut punch of the end of the year and everything. Mike, I'm going to start with you. Just what was your initial reaction to hearing of the passing of John Huber?
Obviously really upsetting because the situation, but we talked about things we wanted to see this year on the last episode. And I think one of the things I had said was the Dark Order kind of takes over AEW, and that include Brody Lee becoming the world champion. And so that was kind of like, boom, this happens. And it was a kind of one last middle finger from 2020, but just sad at 41. Mm-hmm. It's not a guy who's in his 70s, 80s. He was 41. He had a lot of life to look forward to.
And what even hurts the most is that, you know, we've heard all the stories and all the outpouring of support from the wrestling world, guys from across the, you know, across from both promotions, AEW, WWE, just talking about how, not only how great of a wrestler he was, but how great of a person he was. Like, obviously no one really speaks ill of the dead when it happens, but like the amount of stories coming out about John Huber, about how amazing of a man, father, and husband he was is like almost kind of like almost as shocking as like not don't take this the wrong way like not as shocking as his death announcement, but like it's almost like, man, he was really, he touched a lot of people in his life.
And I think when you're 100% right, but the amount of tweets and retweets from wrestlers about stories. I mean, AEW was retweeting stuff from WWE wrestlers, or they were commenting on each other's Twitters. And it's just, he was just beloved by all of his colleagues. And that just speaks to the man he was.
Yeah, and oh, go ahead, Lawrence.
I'm sorry. It shows you that the wrestling world will come together. Mm-hmm. And I put this on, like, I haven't seen the wrestling world come this together. Yes, we lost, like, we lost Mean Gene this year. We lost a few other wrestlers this year. Shad Gaspard, all them, but I haven't seen the wrestling world come together since, hasn't come together this close since Eddie Guerrero died.
Yep.
And that's the truth. Like,
Eddie Guerrero was.
The wrestling community came together, and the other person that thou shalt not be named before everything came out. Everyone came together for that one, too. But when Eddie died, the whole wrestling world came together. And now this is the same situation where, with Brody Lee passing, it's like WWE got theirs out, AEW got theirs out, AEW and WWE were liking each other's stuff, and this is where companies are supposed to be at war with each other, for lack of a better term. And they're coming together for the one simple fact to honor the legacy of a fallen wrestler.
Mm-hmm. And it really shows that the wrestling world can come together at a moment's notice. And it's great to see, especially because, like you said, Lawrence, is that you have AEW and WWE who are supposed to be at war right now. And they are coming together to support Huber and John Huber and his wife and his son, who we'll get into in a little bit, because AEW blew it out of the water when they went to honor him, but we'll talk about them in a little bit. But it was so sad to see, just because of the fact of this guy had so many years left, Mike. Like you said, he had so much life left. This isn't a guy that was in his late 80s, so it's like, oh, you know, it's sad, but, you know, he lived his full life. This guy was only halfway through his life, at worst, probably. And it also sucks more because we never truly got to see his potential in AEW. We never really got to that point yet, because he was going to have a nice run as TNT champion, but he unfortunately had to go into the ICU for a couple months due to this non-COVID-related lung issue, which we still don't know what it is yet, but I'm sure the family's waiting to disclose that information. But yeah, and I'm just happy we at least got him in AEW for a little bit, because in WWE, he was like the prime example of like a guy they could have built the division around, and they just didn't.
He's the definition of underutilized.
100%.
Him and a select few others that are still in WWE that are underutilized.
Mm-hmm.
There's a few other throwing that in that hat that are still around in WWE that should leave and go somewhere where they'll prosper. And Brody Lee did that. He left WWE, and look, TNT champion, had a fabulous faction going that was getting ready to do bigger things this year. And now it's like that what if factor. What are they going to do now? Who's going to run the Dark Order and all that? But that's a discussion for a different day.
I wanted to actually ask you guys about that, about the Dark Order. Mike, I'll start with you. Do you think the Dark Order should go on and just bring a new leader in, or should they retire the group as like we're going to retire it to honor Brody Lee? Like, the Dark Order, it kind of almost like the Dark Order can't run without Brody Lee.
Okay, you can go about this either way. I don't think there's a wrong answer. Now, the political answer in me says you have to make sure it's okay with the wife and the kids, make sure they're cool with it. I think the most touching thing would have his 8-year-old son be the leader of the Dark Order. That would be the most touching answer.
Mm-hmm.
I think it should go on. Maybe you wait a little while before you find a true person to lead, and they just, they're still together, but they do their own thing. They're kind of like a group without a leader until they find someone who could be that leader. Now, if you don't want to continue it as a group, that's fine as well. But I prefer them stay together. But I don't want to just say a name, because I think it'd be cool as a leader. But if you went with someone like Sting could lead the Dark Order. He could, you know, and it's a tough question. I'd prefer to see them go on, but it's very hard to make that decision. Everyone has to be on board with it.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Lawrence, what are your thoughts on that?
I wouldn't say it's a simple answer to say we should lead the Dark Order. Personally, it should be Rowan. You get him, you get one of his close friends that have been with them when they're in the Wyatt family, and the one person that's outside the company minus Bray and Strowman, you have Rowan come in
and lead the Dark Order.
That would be the perfect fit for the Dark Order. You have his brother, you get what I'm saying, his brother, that like one of his best friends, and someone that can come in and just take Dark Order to the next level. Granted, I'm in the same boat with Rifkin. Give it to the 8-year-old son. -1, -1, however you want to call him. That's because that's his name in the Dark Order. If you've been following, it's -1, I think, or -1.
-1, something like that. I think it's -1 or something along those lines.
It's long line to that, but the fact that AEW also gave his son a contract. Because that came out news. AEW gave his son a contract saying when he's old enough, if he wants to pursue in the business, he can.
And that was really touching.
It's just like, oh my God, let this kid get a voice and branch out and let him be able to cut a promo. If he can take over for his father, oh, moon in the stars for the Dark Order.
Yeah, 100%. He that's so touching of them to offer him a contract and say, listen, whenever you're ready, you can come start wrestling for AEW, and that's going to be really sweet of AEW. And back to what we were talking about earlier, just how many guys and women from around the wrestling world are coming out, and not just wrestlers, like fans too. Like fans were posting stories about how it's like, yeah, I met Luke Harper when he was in the Wyatt family. I met him back in 2016, whatever, and he was one of the nicest guys you ever met in your life. You know, didn't have an ego, wasn't brash about it, just really just was down to earth, wanted to have interactions with people and everything. And like that to me is why this is so hard, because we didn't not just lose a great wrestler, but we lost a great man. And that's what really hurts the most, I think. But so let's talk about, so we talked about the tributes from like Xavier Woods and all those guys from WWE. And so there was also a tweet that came out from Brian Myers, AKA Kurt Hawkins, and formerly in WWE. And so when WWE did the Raw after Huber's passing, they put the graphic up and said in memory of John Huber. And then throughout the show, they kind of, each wrestler, I think, did like their own little tributes. Drew McIntyre said, it's Monday, you know what time it is, or you know what that means, which is what, Mike, I think you followed him on Twitter. That's what Harper pretty much did every Sun. Was it every day?
He did it every day. So when I was in college, we had a radio show called Puckheads. And every Sunday, I would retweet Harper and go, yeah, all new Puckheads at 1 o'clock on 88.9 FM WNYO. And it was one of those things I always liked. I was just like, I totally understand. You know what day it is. I was like, I'm going to use this. I'm not stealing because it's on Twitter. I'm going to retweet and use it in my promo-esque tweet about my show.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like, it was simple.
It was super simple. And like I said, he would do it every day. So McIntyre paid homage to that. Xavier Woods paid homage to him by doing a discus clothesline and like his old Wyatt family taunt during his match. And am I missing anything else that a wrestler did on Monday?
Well, they opened the show, and it was Todd Phillips goes, "It's Monday night, and you know what that means."
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. And when Xavier Woods did the clothesline, Tom Phillips just goes, "Yeah, yeah, yeah." It does like the old his old taunt that he used to do.
The New Day did Raw Talk.
Oh yes.
And they cut a beautiful, not a promo, but they said some.
Yeah, Xavier and Kofi said some really nice.
One of the few times WWE lets them go off script and let them actually talk about someone in a different company.
Yeah, and it was really sweet to see. But back to the original point was there was a tweet from Kurt Hawkins who said, "No 10 bell salute, no promo video, yada yada yada. WWE should have done more." Excuse me, Mike. Or Lawrence, what's your reaction to that?
If anything, WWE did it right. They gave them the photo and the, you know, years born, the year born, the year died. He gave it the moment of silence, and they let AEW do their tribute first, which is class act on the E, because if you do it first, people would have ripped it apart. People say, "Oh, WWE did a 10 bell salute before AEW. How could they? They should let AEW." When it comes to situations like this, WWE is always going to be losing. Because, yes, they do a 10 bell salute first. Okay. Then internet's going to rip it apart. They don't do nothing, that they're going to rip it apart. WWE later did release a video of them interviewing superstars and how they and what Brody meant to them. So. But they gave AEW the chance to do it first.
Mm-hmm.
Which, once again, class act on the E.
Yeah. Mike, what were your thoughts on that?
I agree with Patch. I think you have to let AEW do it first. That's the company he was a part of currently. That's where he was. So you have to say, "Look, our hands are kind of tied. We'll do the best we can." But from a production standpoint, from a personal, we have to let them do their business first. They can do the tribute videos and the tribute show, and they're going to do the 10 bell salute. At a later date, we will do a similar thing. SmackDown, we will do the 10 bell salute. Because we'll air SmackDown's Friday. We'll do the 10 bell salute. We'll air a tribute video. We'll showcase people from superstars from Raw and SmackDown telling us their feelings about Brody Lee. That's how I would have done it. But you have to let AEW do it first.
Yeah, you 100% have to let AEW do it first because he, like you guys said, he is the guy, he's the company that he was signed to. And let's talk about AEW's tribute show because I don't think I've ever seen a more touching tribute show than this one. Because Patchman, I don't know. Did you watch? You watched the Eddie Guerrero one, I imagine, right?
I watched both. I have them both. I have both tribute shows still videotaped on a VHS.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know how it compares to those, but this one was phenomenal.
You know what? I put it up there with Eddie's. Because Eddie's was moving, and this was moving.
Yeah, and they pulled out all the stops for this. They basically had all the Dark Order wrestled, they did 10 bell salute at the beginning, and they let his wife and his son sit ringside, and excuse me. And they did basically, like I said, all the matches were just basically baby faces winning. And it was just, you know, feel good moments throughout the night. And then it led up to one of the final matches was the quote Brody Lee Jr. dream match. And it was like all of his favorite wrestlers in one match. It was like Cody Hangman.
It was Cody, Darby Allin.
Oh, and Orange Cassidy.
versus Team Taz.
And so that match happened, and then later in the night it was the main event, and they the whole thing with MJF was just brilliant.
MJF is the best right now.
Like sorry, Lawrence, go ahead.
He can play the heel, but deep down you know he was hurting too.
And yeah, it was like he healed on Brody Lee Jr., but like not bad. You know what I mean? It was like almost like all in good fun. And then of course, Brody Lee Jr. got the revenge on him because like MJF comes over and rips his mask off, and so Brody Lee Jr. hits him with a kendo stick and all this stuff. And super super fun to see this kid get this kind of reaction and stuff. And then of course we led up to the main event, which was the kind of like the true tribute to him, and Tony Khan and Cody Rhodes come out, bring in Brody Lee Jr. and Amanda Huber, and they announce that the TNT Championship, the current version of the belt that was held by Brody Lee, will be given to his son, and he will be TNT Champion for life. Or his father will be known as TNT Champion for life. The current design of the belt was given to Brody Lee Jr. Darby Allin, the current champion, will get a new version of the belt here, I believe, soon.
They're going to remake the belt. They gave Brody Lee Jr. the TNT Championship, and they retired the belt. And then somewhere in the realms of AEW Dark, Brody Lee Jr. is also one-time AEW champion, too. You didn't hear about that. He's already once. And then he also pinned Adam Cole.
I did see that. Too.
That video was phenomenal.
Was great.
What a discus.
Michael, start with you. Just the ending of the show, your thoughts on it.
It's really emotional. It will make you cry, or you will feel things watching it. And I love the fact that it was Tony Khan out there with Cody. Because as much as it means that Cody's there, and we know how much of a part Cody is, Tony Khan's the owner of the company, and he's there. He is in tears also, crying about this. But I went back because AEW does a little podcast with Tony Schiavone and Aubrey Edwards. They do a podcast, I think it's called AEW Unrestricted, and on one of the episodes, because they put it on their Twitter page, Brody Lee was on it. And they talked about him being the TNT champion, and he goes, his 8-year-old son, Brody Jr., would always sleep at night with the belt when his dad was home.
Oh.
So, you feel so bad for the kid, and you feel so bad for the wife, but you know Tony's going to help them, you know. The AEW people are going to help them. It sucks that it had to happen.
Mm-hmm. It really does.
I couldn't watch the show live.
I couldn't either.
I think it'd get me too emotional. But you see the support on Twitter, and you see the videos of the people, the superstars talking, and it's just, you understood what a good person, what a good guy he was. I think one of my favorite things, I don't know if we'll get to this in a minute, but I don't know if you guys watch BTE.
I try to.
Okay. Occasionally. Rare occasion.
So since Brody Lee had come into the Dark Order in AEW, there's always a great Dark Order skit. And they pay tribute to him a lot during this night. I think it was Silver and Reynolds had papers with them, and they threw them at Santana and Ortiz before the match started. That was a classic Brody Lee thing during BTE.
Well, and what always struck me is that I did catch one of the episodes, Mike, and I was like, because the Dark Order is like the super serious group on AEW, right? And like, they're doing these skits on Being the Elite, and they're like a comedy group. And they're
it was one of the things that I would watch religiously on BT's, what the Dark Order do today. Like, they did a thing. Remember when they brought Trent Beretta's mom into AEW for a few? So at one point, she comes in and the Dark Order celebrating something, and John Silver drops something, and Sue turns around and says, "What was that?" And Brody Lee goes, "He doesn't like your fucking cooking, Sue." And she goes, "Throw the papers at him. Throw the papers."
I think I remember watching that one. That one was hilarious.
It just showed his comedic timing too. Like, oh my god, he's so funny. Like, and there was that one point where, like, I can't remember if it's who's the one in the black mask? Is that Evil Uno?
That's Evil Uno.
He does something to Tony Schiavone, and, like, Brody Lee's just like, "Dude, what the hell's wrong with you? Man, come on, Tony. Come on, Tony. Let's get out of here." He just, like, walks off with Schiavone. This is so funny. But before we get into our favorite moments, Patrick, what was your reaction to the ending of the show?
Oh, heartwarming, makes you cry. No way to get over it. Makes you cry every time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of that stuff will make you cry. A lot of the tributes I think you read, especially for me, the one, I don't know about you guys, but the one tribute that I saw, other than the AEW tribute show, the tribute that got me the most was Bray Wyatt's. God. That reading that was hard, because we know Bray Wyatt, we know Luke Harper. Just seeing Wyatt type, it was if you want a great tribute to him, go read Bray Wyatt. It's on his Instagram, and it's unbelievable.
Seth Rollins put out a really good one as well.
Seth did, yep. Because I believe they did like a whole, and even like on his workout page, they did like a whole workout dedicated to Brody Lee and stuff. It really.
Read go ahead, Mike. Big E's Twitter. Big E was.
Oh yeah, Big E's one. Xavier Woods is one.
Xavier Woods as well. One moment I loved from Dynamite, and we can get back to the tributes, was when MJF gets hit by his son with the kendo stick, and Jericho's on commentary. And Jericho just goes, "The kid's already turned to the dark side," basically.
I was sick of Jericho's commentary earlier in the year, but this show was fantastic for him. He did a great job at like towing the line between being a heel but also paying tribute to Brody and stuff. And go if you have a few like an hour free, go and just read all the tributes to Brody Lee. Again, it just really shows how much this man touched everybody he was with, how amazing of a soul he was, how great of a father he was, and just how great of a wrestler he was. But so I wanted to wrap this episode up, this tribute show to Brody Lee, guys, by Lawrence, I'm just going to throw the floor to you for right now. Just what were your favorite moments of Brody Lee / Luke Harper?
Anything to do with the Wyatt family. Anything to hang on one second, watch something on TV for one second. Oh, God, I'm not ready for that. Never mind. That's a travesty. Edit later. I'm turning that off. I will. All right, you're gonna have to say, Goldberg just came out to confront Drew McIntyre.
Oh my God! All right, we'll talk about that at a later time.
At a later time, edit out later. Favorite moments, anything to do with the Wyatt family? You know, you had the Wyatt compound match, him, Bray, Rowan against the New Day. Can't get any better than that. Him winning the IC title off Dolph Ziggler when he joined the Authority. Come on. I was so excited for that, because once again, I'm a heel guy. I love all the heels. So that was another fine moment. You know, that just that ominous stare he would give you with his eyes, and his, he would just give you that ominous stare, then that head turn. You had that, you know, when we had the Authority versus Team Cena, when Rowan joined Team Cena, you just see his eyes open up, and you just see that slight head tilt.
Mm-hmm.
Him and Rowan win the titles at Mania in New Orleans as the Bludgeon Brothers. And then his whole run in AEW with the Dark Order, winning the TNT Championship. I wanted him to win the AEW Championship. Fortunately, we never got that.
Mm-hmm. Mike, to you, what's your favorite moments of Brody Lee?
Okay, so we were in college for the Wyatt family, so you know how much I love the Wyatt family. So anything they did. He had a great, I think it was a great ladder match, him and Dolph Ziggler.
TLC.
TLC. Oh, it was, he for such a big man, he could do everything. It was unreal. So that's always at the top for me. I always loved the New Day Wyatt family stuff, because I think was it Woods who always dressed up as Luke Harper?
No, it was
it's Kofi, I think.
Kofi dressed up as Harper, and I think Woods was Wyatt.
And you just see. Like I know Woods would be, like, really afraid of the Wyatt family, but I just enjoyed it. It was funny to watch. He had the eyes, too, the eyes going.
Mm-hmm.
That would get me. Obviously, the current run in AEW that he had got me as well, but just... Again, I'm not trying to harp and be mean, but it just felt like he was so underutilized because he could have done so much more. But there'll never be another faction like the Wyatt family, and he is a big part of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and as far as what I've considered, I mean, you guys said a lot of the stuff. I mean, I think back to him and Rowan's match versus the Usos, that rivalry back in 2014. Oh, those matches they would have would be phenomenal. Any tag team match with him and Rowan. I mean, we go back to the Shield days. The Wyatt family versus the Shield is one of my all-time favorite matches. I love that match. Yeah, his singles run was amazing. The ladder match versus Ziggler, the IC title feuds, the Dean Ambrose feuds. There was a street fight they had at Extreme Rules one year that was just wince-inducing because of the spots they were pulling out. My favorite thing, and obviously his AEW run was fantastic too. My favorite one of his things, though, was his stuff during the Viper and the Family story when Randy Orton kind of snuck into the Wyatt family. The chemistry between the three of those guys, Harper, Orton and Wyatt, you couldn't beat that.
No.
And just the implosion of them to where, Mike, I think, oh no, we didn't watch this together because I was sick that day. But the moment in the 2017 Rumble where Harper almost gives Wyatt a Sister Abigail.
Yeah.
Oh,
I popped so big for that. I wanted that to happen so bad.
I don't remember the pay-per-view, but it was Orton and Wyatt, and Orton and nailed Wyatt with an RKO. And the lights go out, and, you know, the Wyatt family vignette plays, and all of a sudden it's a Luke Harper in the middle of the ring next to Orton. And I think it was Mauro Ranallo going, "It's Luke Harper." And mm-hmm. It was just like, no one saw it coming, but it was just epic at the same time because he came back to Wyatt.
Yeah, because they had broken up the Wyatt family like before this, and so it was just like this was him rejoining him and returning at the same time.
Well, then they had that when he rejoined Rowan too, when he disappeared and he came out of, you know, the camera when he came back and attacked Roman. And then Rowan beat Roman. Everyone forgets about that. Rowan beat Roman. Say that five times fast.
There's going to be like in a couple of months, there'll be a WWE top 10 list video of guys you never thought would beat Roman. Eric Rowan will be on that list.
Mm-hmm. 100%. And yeah, I don't know about you guys. I actually liked the Bludgeon Brothers.
I did too.
Because
it gave that opportunity to show that Harper and Rowan didn't need Bray.
Now, would I prefer them as the Wyatt family? Yes, 100%. But I didn't think the Bludgeon Brothers were bad at all. I actually liked that gimmick of just like they were two guys who were just going to walk in and beat the ever-loving crap out of you.
They did that to the New Day at Mania.
Mm-hmm, New Day and the Usos at Mania. And yeah, just fantastic. Just fantastic charisma from him. Like you said, the stare he could give you, the head tilt, his timing was impeccable. I remember back when they were doing the Wyatt Orton stuff, and they did Luke Harper versus Randy Orton one-on-one at Elimination Chamber, and they did a discus clothesline right into an RKO. That was phenomenal. So yeah, you could fill out 20 lists of all our favorite moments from John Huber's career, whether it's Luke Harper, whether it's Brody Lee. Gentlemen, before we go, wrap this up, do you have any final words?
I don't.
Rest in peace, man.
Yeah, RIP, man.
Yeah, that's how
go join the Heaven Royal Rumble with every other legend.
Mm-hmm. Give God a good show up there. Yeah, so just to wrap this up, rest in peace to John Huber. You were a fantastic wrestler. You were a fantastic father and a fantastic just overall person. You're going to be sorely missed from the wrestling world and from the world in general. But that is going to wrap us up for this tribute episode to Brody Lee. For Mike Rifkin, Lawrence Patchman Lang, I'm Noah Trombley, and we will talk to you guys next time.